Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're continuing to make our way through this extraordinary season of the church year, a very, very special season, from celebration of the Triduum and the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which is really the center of our faith. And the entire faith of the church really stands or falls on the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Why? It's pretty simple. Because he wasn't simply resuscitated like Lazarus was. He rose from the dead in glory. He rose a new creation. He brought in his own person the new humanity, you can say, brothers and sisters. So what is God doing? The fallen human nature, beginning with Adam and Eve, right up to the present moment, alienated the human race from God, had a death-directed destiny under the subjection of the world, the flesh, and the devil, unable to lift itself up, again, made for glory and bearing the image of God, but the human race fell from glory and literally became enemies of God and were caught in this, enslaved to demonic forces, demonic powers, and under the dominion of sin and death is the way the apostles describe it in the scriptures. And so Jesus came to deal with that regime of power and reality that has the human race enslaved. And we are orphans and alienated. And why Jesus came, he came to deal with all of those powers, all those realities that enslaved the human race, and to bring us from a place of alienation, of slavery, of a death-directed destiny into new life, from death to life, from darkness to light. That is the essence of why Jesus came. And we've talked many times in the program, and we'll do it again and again, because we can never forget the amazing thing Jesus came to do. He came to make war. He came to engage in spiritual combat, to literally destroy Satan and his dominion and his false kingdom that's set against the kingdom of God, and to deal with the sin problem that produced the death problem in the human race. And he did all of that on the cross. So we've talked about quite a bit since the Triduum. He disarmed the principalities and powers, made a public show of them. And then he destroyed all of that. He died. He went down into the land of the dead and he declared his victory. And then he rose from the dead. And when he rose, he rose in the body he received, you know, from his mother Mary. He rose from the dead in a human body that is now glorified. What's needed, what the human race needs, is a new creation, a new reality, to be made alive, but to be brought from death to life. And at the core of it is the reality of spiritual life. And our bodies matter. We're not just going to be spirits. We're going to have glorified bodies. And that's what we see in the person of Jesus, the new humanity. This week is the Ascension on Thursday. He not only rose from the dead, but he ascended to the right hand of the Father, bringing human nature, bringing the new human nature, the new man, the new creation in his person into the presence of the glory of the Father, where Jesus was from all eternity. So we're brought into glory. We're raised to glory. We're clothed in glory. That's our destiny. Now, today, the church gives us a moment to reflect on the life of St. Philip Neri. And what we see in the saints, and why the church presents the saints to us, is to give us hope. And part of that hope is to see the incarnation, the already and the not yet, that is the already of the promises of the kingdom of God breaking into the lives of human beings when we're born again in baptism by water and the Spirit. We're strengthened in the grace of confirmation. We are living together in the body of Christ. We're receiving the sacraments and living life in the Lord and on mission in Christ. We are already receiving a down payment of the glory that Jesus Christ has accomplished, has laid hold of for our sake, that he's entered into. We're already living in union with him in the body of Christ. And some of that is literally the glory and power that belongs to Jesus. So we're in this season where the church, every single day, we're getting readings about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles. And signs and wonders are demonstrated in their lives. They're preaching the kingdom of God, the presence of the kingdom of God in power, leading people to conversion, experiencing the very resistance that Jesus said would happen to them, just as it happened to him. But you see in their lives, the glory of the kingdom is present, and all that Jesus promised to them that they would receive from the Holy Spirit that would enable them to fulfill the mission and the ministry, really to walk in holiness in imitation of Jesus, and to live in community and to be a community on mission. That's really the nature of the church, a people brought from sin and death, animated by the Holy Spirit, brought to new life, living now by a new power at work in each and every one of our lives. And Jesus, the scripture exhorts us to hunger after the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, to thirst, to ask for more and more of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to take us deeper into love of God, into love of neighbor, into right ordered love of ourselves, and to extend the mission of the kingdom and the offer of salvation to the world around us. And so we see a beautiful example of that in the life of Philip Neri, one of the most interesting and wonderful characters in the history of the church. And he was deeply, at one point, he was a young man. He studied business. He was very naturally talented, had quite a personality, but he had a great hunger for God. Makes me think of Matthew chapter 6. You know, it said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear, that famous passage, that whole section where Jesus ends that section. And he says, but instead of worrying about things, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of holiness, his way of righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. It's a great promise from the Lord. When the Lord, we have those promises in the scripture, friends, you can take those to the bank. Of course, the devil doesn't want us to even think about them, to know that they're there, but they are there. And those are promises to you and to me. And so one of the things we see in the life of Philip Neri is his hunger for God. Just want to read one account of what happened to him, in particular, a Pentecostal experience that Philip Neri had that was just so beautiful. In the early 1540s, Philip was living in Rome. He was a layman, dedicating himself to intense prayer, penance, and solitude. He often retreated to the catacombs of San Sebastiano, an ancient Christian burial site outside the city walls, where he spent hours in deep meditation and spiritual exercises. In other words, he was hungry for God. He was hungry for more. He knew there was more. And he was exercising his free will. He was making a decision to set aside time to listen to pursue, to worship, to quietly wait on the Lord. He had already announced a worldly life and was seeking total union with God, though he had not yet been ordained. This all was happening as a layman. So it says, on the eve of Pentecost in 1544, while praying in one of the catacombs niches, Philip begged the Holy Spirit to fill him with divine love. Okay, he begged the Holy Spirit. I love that. It said, suddenly, a globe of fire appeared before him. Some sources described it as a luminous sphere or like a ball of light. The fiery presence moved toward him and entered his mouth or his chest, accounts vary slightly, penetrating into his heart. Literally, a visible reality, like the presence of the Spirit manifested in a particular way. Some accounts say it literally came into his mouth, and some say just right into his chest. But either way, it ended up in his chest and in his heart. Immediately, Philip was overwhelmed by an intense, burning love of God. That's the heart. Go all the way back to Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the prophets of the Old Testament, prophesying that the Messiah was coming, that God had a plan that would be revealed in the Messiah. And at the core of that plan was God was coming to give us a new heart and had put a new spirit within us. And that is said, not a hardened human heart that resists God, but a supernatural grace of sharing and participating in the heart of Jesus. Again, why he became one of us, the heart of Jesus, that a human heart in the God-man who loved the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength was absolutely docile and living in the Holy Spirit, loving God, loving neighbor. It's that heart, which is Another dimension is the new law, God's will for us, revealed in the human heart through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, leading us to love what God loves, you know, loving God's commands and the like. So here, already a serious Christian, and as a young man, he's begging for the more. And I think one of the takeaways that we really need to hear from, and why, again, the church gives us these beautiful stories, true stories of ordinary men and women who really are believing the promises of God and then pursuing those promises. He was baptized. He was confirmed, just like, you know, many of you who are listening. And one of the things that can happen with us if we're not careful is to say, yes, I'm baptized. Yes, I'm confirmed. And I go to church and I try to be a good person, right? I try to live the commandments in the right way. But we don't really have a full hunger for God, a passion for God, a zeal to go deeper in relationship with God, and zeal then that flows out of us for the salvation of souls. It said, after this happened to him, his mouth opened, that the Holy Spirit came into him. It said, Philip was overwhelmed by an intense and burning love for God, so powerful that he collapsed to the ground, trembling with joy and spiritual ecstasy. From that moment forward, Philip experienced an extraordinary enlargement of his heart, which he described as both painful and ecstatic. After his death, an autopsy was conducted by order of church authorities. Two of his ribs had been broken and curved outward, leaving space for his enlarged heart. The surrounding muscles and tissues showed signs of long-term strain from this expansion. He frequently felt an interior trembling and shaking when he was praying and speaking to God. But his life then became very, very fruitful in an extraordinary way. He says, Philip's character changed markedly. He became overwhelmingly joyful, gentle, and warm-hearted, marked by a contagious enthusiasm for God. He began drawing others to himself, not by preaching or rank, but by sheer holiness and spiritual magnetism. He had an amazing personality as well. He developed a deep sensitivity to spiritual realities with heightened discernment and prophetic insight. Again, all spiritual gifts. Grace was building on nature. He had a lot of nature, you could say. He was a gifted, talented man, but the Holy Spirit was animating his life now and directing and giving him help to fulfill the mission the Lord had given to him. So this experience became the foundation of his lifelong mission, a Pentecostal outpouring that fueled his work and renewal in his work in Rome. Many biographers describe this moment as a personal Pentecost, likening it to Acts 2, where the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit as tongues of fire descended upon them. The visible and lasting physical signs made Philip's experience one of the most extraordinary charismatic encounters in church history. So from that, he's now empowered. He began to touch lives at a whole nother level. This is interesting. He had already a capacity to impact other people, but he knew the Lord had more, and he hungered, he thirsted, he begged, he pursued God. He set time aside, he read the word of God, he laid prostrate, he hungered, he just said, Lord, please, I desire more of you and the Holy Spirit. So he became a great preacher of the love of God, humility and detachment from vanity. He was quite a character at one point. You know, he used to mock pride in such a way. Sometimes he walked through the city with his beard half shaved, and people would get a kick out of him. He said, just put away human pride, humble yourself, enter the kingdom, receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, become an animated disciple, pursue people and bring faith to others, draw them into relationship with Christ and the church. It's all there. And the saints remind us that's our calling. So let's hunger together for more of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.